The Takeaway is supported by the Corporation for Public Broadcasting, the Star Foundation, the John S. and James L. Knight Foundation, advancing journalistic excellence in the digital age. More information about the Foundation's digital initiatives at knightfoundation.org.
The sound of the streets in Iran 1 year ago this weekend. Protests in major cities throughout the country, outraged over the disputed victory of Iranian President Mahmoud Ahmadinejad in the presidential elections. Hundreds of thousands of Iranians poured into the streets, but after a savage government crackdown, the protests stopped. A year later, where are we? Stephen Kinzer is here with us in the studio. He is the author of Reset, Iran, Turkey, and America's Future, and he was in Iran just last month. And Akbar is with us from Tehran. He is an Iranian journalist and political commentator who participated in the opposition protests last year. Welcome to both of you. And Stephen, let me start with you here in the studio. There was really a sense that something major was happening a year ago. Let's just take a listen to a resident of Tehran speaking to our partner, the BBC, a few days after the election last year.
What was so amazing was the fact that so many people did go to attend the demonstration, despite the fact that they were warned that the police might shoot.
It was amazing, Stephen Kinzer. What happened?
I think it really was a turning point, and ultimately when this regime changes or falls, I think people will look back and say that all began back in 2009 with the election protests. So I think something very profound has changed in Iran. There are new gaps, in new divisions in the ruling group. The popular sentiment has now become very suspicious and dubious toward the government. On the other hand, situation in Iran is not explosive right now. Life is pretty good for most people, and it's quite good for a number of people. The possibility that an election was stolen is not enough to drive Iranians out into the street in front of police guns. So in a country with 25 centuries of history, which is about 10 times what we have here in America, this idea that change is coming, it's just not coming tomorrow, is actually something quite reasonable, even though it conflicts with the American kind of positivistic idea that every problem has a quick solution and where's the solution
and
right now?
Instant gratification.
We don't think, the Iranians don't think like that. They have a much longer term perspective, which is a good lesson for us to learn.
Let's go to Iran, to Tehran, and speak with our guest, Akbar, a journalist in Iran. You took part then. What was the difference then and what your feeling is now, Akbar?
At the moment, all demonstrations by the opposition have been cancelled because they have not been given permission by the state ministry. So Mehdi Karoubi, Hossein Mousavian, and also Mehmet Khatami have advised his followers not to go on the streets because the government troops are itching for a fight after the sanctions that have been put on Iran yesterday.
So what you're saying is it's much more dangerous now for you to go out there than it was a year ago?
It's much more dangerous. The government forces are far more solid, and also there is a lot of dissatisfaction, obviously, political, economic, and social dissatisfaction. But the point is the timing. How and when are they going to oppose the tyrannical regime?
When you speak about tyrannical regime, let me start with you, Akbar, and then I want to come back to Stephen Kinzer here in the studio. The face of Iran for most Americans is certainly President Ahmadinejad. How is he regarded in your country right now?
He's loathed. He's hated by the bazaar. He's hated by the professional classes. There's a lot of discontent within the army and the senior army officers. So it may be a matter of the personality cult here, how to get rid of one or two persons. But then the whole system at the moment is very, very weak because constitutional monarchy here, because the parliamentary rule just hasn't worked at the moment. It's a clumsy situation where the president tells parliament what to do.
Stephen Kinzer, President Ahmadinejad, are we wrong to dislike him as much as so many Americans appear to, or the fact that Akbar is saying he's reviled or he's loathed over there?
Well, whether we dislike him or not is really beside the point. The question is, what's in our interest and what's in the interest of the people in Iran who believe in the kind of things that we like to believe in? The opposition movement in Iran is in a very difficult position now. It doesn't have any good options. The best of the bad options would be somehow to try to draw this regime out of its isolation and its anger. I think if the democratic movement in Iran were to say to America and the West, isolate this regime, don't speak to them, don't negotiate with them, then we would have to pay attention to that. On the other hand, they haven't said that. And that leaves open for us the possibility of whether some kind of a diplomatic initiative that's broader than what we've tried up to now might be effective.
And yet when you look on the international stage, Stephen Kinzer, it appears that Ahmadinejad's stock may be higher than ever. You're an expert on the U.S.-Turkey-Iran nexus, and here you have a situation where the Turkish government has sidled away from the United States, an ally, and towards Iran on the international stage, the blockade. Ahmadinejad photographed with the president of Brazil, thumbs in the eye at the U.S. at every turn. It would seem as though he's doing better than ever on the international scene.
He is certainly not as isolated as he seems to be when you're sitting in the United States. He has plenty of other places in the U.S. and in the world to go.
And Turkey seems to prefer to be a little bit closer to him than to us right now.
I wouldn't go quite that far. What okay. I would say is that Turkey is telling the United States, you've got to ratchet down this confrontation with Iran. You've got to have some kind of a compromise and let some of the air out of this. Otherwise, we're going to get a result that nobody wants.
Let's talk a little bit quickly about the nuclear situation. UN Security Council, of course, just approved new sanctions against Iran. What did you hear from Iranians in, as Akbar mentioned, in the bazaar when you were there?
I heard, first of all, that the sanctions aren't going to work. They're, first of all, weak. But not just that. Because of historical reasons of Iran being ripped apart by foreign powers over the last 200 years, not to mention psychological religious reasons that come out of the Shiite belief that suffering on behalf of justice is a wonderful thing, the idea that these sanctions are going to make the Iranian regime kneel down and surrender is something that nobody believes. So although I'm not against sanctions as a moral principle, I'm asking myself, what's the end game? What are we expecting these sanctions to achieve? They're certainly not going to get the Iranians to change their behavior. The only thing they're possibly going to achieve is to give the war party in Washington the chance to say, hey, we tried the peaceful option. We tried the sanctions. They didn't work. So now only the military option is remaining.
All right. Stephen Kinzer, author of Reset, Iran, Turkey, and America's Future. And in Tehran, Akbar, a journalist and political commentator, part of the protests last year, says he's not going out on the streets now. It's too dangerous. Later this morning, we're going to be speaking with two documentary filmmakers who got exclusive interviews with the family of Neda Aga Sultan, the face of Iran's 2009 protests. She is the young woman who was caught on camera after she was shot in the chest on a Tehran street. All that coming up.